hearing miracles, right? Hearing supernatural can, for some, can be a twist in your head. You know, it can be hard to comprehend. In fact, it may just, you may still be wrestling with, really? And I can remember, you know, the only person in this room that remembers me from early days would be Paul, you know, but being in a church service where there's a room full of people having what you would consider to be, I guess, a powerful time, encounter, emotional. And I would be, and it's like, I'm here, I'm in the same room, and I'm not having an emotional encounter, and I'm getting irritated because I'm not. And in fact, there'd be times like you might, you know, come up front or come forward, and the person to your left and to your right is getting, you know, whacked. And you're like, what's wrong with me? And I can remember having a resistance to thinking, something's, I know I'm not messed up. So, so in your mind, you're trying to reconcile, why are they having an encounter and I'm not? And if you, and when you go down that path, it's an unhealthy path because you end up convincing yourself, you know, that, well, there's something else has to happen, or they're faking it, or these things you're...
I believe it's my cross to bear.
Yeah, oh yeah, so this is not my moment. I don't, God's denying me this. And God, because I'm so good, God, you know, there's another reason he's denying it to me, but... You struggle with believing. You struggle with really the only language for what he does in that domain is supernatural.
Right.
And as an engineer, it's like my mind was wired to I have to understand it. I have to logically understand what's happening here, and if I don't understand it, it must not be true.
And also the teaching that you've had.
Well, sure, in my upbringing, and we could spend a long time on all of that, but it actually, you know what it did? It created unbelief.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It actually ministered to unbelief. And guess what?
Right.
Unbelief, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Right? Yeah, so the very thing you're saying can't happen. Because we didn't talk about miracles. We never talked about miracles. Therefore, and the conclusion, you know what the conclusion was? God doesn't do miracles anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That he did it then. And so for me, this thing of unless I see it, I won't believe it. And it's not just, it's probably big in the Western church more than other communities.
It's getting better, I think.
But it's this thing about, look, I guess I wanted to say that that's stepping into accepting the supernatural. And it's a crazy term, but accepting and believing that this is happening, how he's doing these things, it's not a mind issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heart issue. Mm-hmm. Now, Romans says this in Romans 10, verse 10, it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So remember last week we talked about righteousness? And when you look at how the language that the Bible uses to describe righteousness, it comes from the thought of two parties facing each other and finding their likeness in each other. Right? And there's nothing impeding that connection, right? There's nothing in the way. There's nothing lying to them about that connection. There's nothing deceiving them about that connection, right? There's no falsehoods in the middle here that are disrupting that connection. So when Christ comes and speaks to you of your righteousness, right, because of Christ, it's not about this thought of, oh, now you're perfect. You've got all that bad stuff out of you. It's about that place of identifying with him, accepting his name. It's like stepping into family and realizing you were created for this. right? And so with your heart, and you know, and when the Bible talks about heart, by the way, it's that center of that place in your life that drives your desires, your passions, your the things that get you excited, maybe even the thing that's behind your giftings. And so it's in that place that he's meeting you. And it's that place that God, that we wake up to the supernatural, really. So one of the reasons we don't see signs and wonders, or we don't accept it, is because we've convinced ourselves, no, I need to, believing starts here. You know, I was thinking even last week when we showed that Adolf had the clip we played out of Modern Mystics, which sounds goofy, right? You can like, oh, mystics, right? It sounds a little Eastern. It sounds strange. And one of those things that stops you from stepping into even enjoying that is this. You try to logically understand what he's doing. And if I can't believe it, it's not real. Jesus, remember the centurion who comes to Jesus with, was it his servant or the one that worked with him that was seriously hurt? And it says, just say it and he'll be healed. Remember, you know that story?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Jesus says to the servant or to the centurion is, as you have believed, let it be done for you. What did he do? He's like, it's like, I don't get it all, but here, I know that you're the answer here. And it says, it's from that place that I don't understand the supernatural. I don't understand what happens beyond my logic, but I'm agreeing with you. I can't deny what you're doing. And he says, it's from that place that his servant was healed. You know, and it made me wonder, it's like, as you believe, let it be done. Is it possible that the opposite of that is, as you don't believe, let it not be done?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just the thought.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And so this thing about believing, so then you realize as a good Baptist boy, that believing isn't just about, okay, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Saying, okay, I believe. Because what did I do? I'm still processing here.
Like a mental
ascent. You can't mentally ascend to this. That's a good way of saying it, right? I mean, for generations, for my whole life, it was drilled in me, God's not doing supernatural things.
Mm.
Right? So everything inside of me is lining up with, he doesn't work that way. Right? So something has to change here. Something, and so we were having this conversation with somebody at dinner Friday night, and we had this question that was put on the table because we're sharing some testimonies, like what Adolf just shared and what you just shared about sleeping all night. And we were having these, you know, just recalling, the question was something like this: do you remember when you first believed that way? How did we say it? Was something like that, right? When you actually believed a miracle could happen. And we were trying to figure out, when was that moment? Because it wasn't when I started going to church, right? In fact, I was years in the church crying, and 30 years into church life as an adult, I'm crying out, there has to be more. It's like, where's the more? And we would have these times where Darla would say to me sometimes, well, I get frustrated, and she would say, well, what's God saying to you? And you know what I said to her?
No.
God doesn't talk to me. He might be talking to you.
Yes.
He's not talking to me. And just on that thought right there, does that mean God wasn't talking?
No.
Nope.
No.
What?
You couldn't hear. You were listening.
What it does mean is I wasn't listening.
You weren't on the right wavelength.
Yeah. So I like that thought. Wrong channel. It's like I wasn't tuned into him.
Right.
Right. And so we were having this conversation Friday night at dinner, and I said, well, what was it that caused you to tune in? What was it that caused you to wake up and believe this way, hear this way? And Darla, do you remember what you said?
Yes, I do.
It was real simple.
I said, just having, I had like a a very literal physical encounter with love.
Did you hear that?
She had a physical, I mean, a very real encounter with God's love.
Mm-hmm.
An encounter with God's love. It's like
not an idea.
It
wasn't
like
the teaching.
This all of a sudden, this like, this connection, this awareness that he loves me. Matt,
I had that moment when I was going through like the end of my last marriage. I reached this point where I was just like, it was the same thing. Like I was like, I don't think you hear me. And I had a very rated R prayer with him. And it was me screaming at him, just like, you don't hear a word I say. Obscenities were thrown in.
Yeah.
And he goes, are you done? Yeah. I was like, oh, that was irreverent. But he wasn't meaning that in a negative. He was like, no, I'm asking you if you're done, because you, if you have more, please say it. I want you to get it all off your chest. I want you just to get me there. He's like, because once we're done, you and I are going to leave together. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh. Like, even it's one of those things where even through my anger, he took all my anger with it.
I tell you,
in words,
for us, we had a moment in our journey together, our family actually, and we were in this place of there has to be more, and we went searching, we went looking for, well, where is it then? Where do I get this? And it wasn't looking for a new church, it wasn't looking for a new story, and we found ourselves in a worship room out of town, and. All I can I literally felt detached. I felt like I was in another place, and I found myself like curled up and crying. And I'm thinking, and I remember Darla came up to me, she goes, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I don't know what's happening to me," and because I felt overwhelmed. And all I can describe it was this encounter with love. And I mean, and if I wasn't processing questions, I wasn't trying to solve anything. It was just a moment where he came and just like squished me, like came on me with love. And
so it was a tangible,
very tangible. Yes. So we're in this place, and you know, we stayed there for 3-4 hours.
Mm.
And the time just flew by, and I remember telling my kids, at one point I had this thought, oh my gosh, it's late. And and I asked the kids who were in high school at the time, I said, you guys want it? You're ready to go? And they went, no. And we our family, we sit there, and we 4 hours later, we go back to a hotel room, and we stare at the ceiling. We went, what just happened? They had no words for it. So before that moment, I would have had all sorts of reasons why God wouldn't give me the encounter, why God wouldn't heal somebody when I prayed. And my logic was, it must not be his will. Now, after an encounter, and you realize all he wants to do is heal, there was no magical moment, but all of a sudden, inside my heart, I know he's going to heal people when you pray. He didn't change. All of a sudden, you're stepping into this reality of heaven. It's like you're tuned in to what heaven's saying, what heaven's doing. You're agreeing with heaven, right? So there's this thing that needs the thing that's shifting, right? In this encounter is we're waking up to who we are, right? We're waking up to who we are. We've been talking about identity, right? We've been as being sons, as being daughters, as being, right? Understanding this true picture of righteousness, of seeing ourselves in each other, right? This in Christ image. So there's our identity, but there's a difference between who we are and where we are, which is our experience,
okay.
Right? Because my experience was I have old history of church experience where nothing's going on, and I'm mad and I'm angry and things, nobody's being healed. You know, and nothing's happening, and I'm not agreeing with the supernatural, right? So how do I close the gap between who I am and where I am, my identity, my experience? And all I can tell you is there is an encounter, right? That there's a thing happens in your heart. And I would say that when the Bible, I've been trying to demystify words in the Bible like righteousness for you. So another one is that alignment between your your experience and your identity, that alignment, the language of the Bible uses for that is sanctification. So this thing of lining yourself up, tuning yourself, growing into this place where you're learning to like be in tune with heaven. You're learning to hear what heaven's doing. You're seeing and understanding more. You're stepping into the miraculous and like taking risk and being bold in those things. That's this closing of the gap, right? So here's what I want you to know, really, really true. Because sometimes we say, oh, the difference is Adolf has this extra thing and I don't have it. So I need Adolf to pray.
Right.
Right? The truth is, everything that heaven has, he's put inside of you. Right? Everything that Christ has, he's given to you. The scripture makes it clear, you're made in his image. Right? The fullness of him is in you. What's happening is you're waking up to it. You're tuning into this fullness inside of me. In fact, Colossians, Paul says this to the Colossians church. He says, you're complete in him.
Right.
In other words, you literally lack nothing, right? So what I'm learning to do is I'm learning to cooperate with heaven. Mm. The renewed mind process is about, all right, I'm tuning in. I'm agreeing. I'm seeing his way. I'm understanding, right? It's like, it's not saying I get it. It's not having a logic diagram on notebook paper that says, okay, here's how heaven works. Here's the process. No, it's not that at all. Our heart is literally lining up with his heart. They are becoming one, right? So our whole journey, what you might call spiritual growth, right, is the Holy Spirit, his job is to, he's revealing to you, he's turning your dial, tuning, if you'll allow him, he's tuning you into heaven's frequency. All right? He's tuning you in. And it's not something you didn't already possess. All the things are here, right? But we're waking up to this awareness of it. We're stepping into the language of the Bible is believing, right? In our hearts, we're believing that our we're hearing the same way he's hearing. That's why Jesus said, he only does what the Father does. He only says what the Father says, right?
Right.
That's what's happening to us. We're learning to experience that way, right? So nothing's changed. Here we go. So the supernatural's out here. Nothing's changed in the supernatural realm, the spiritual realm. Nothing's changed out there. It's still there, okay? Mm-hmm. What's changing? Mm-hmm. Our mindset,
right,
is learning that I'm literally connecting myself with this. I'm tuning in. This, and I'm just lining up the gauges, or I'm lining up the pipes, all of a sudden it's flow. Okay? Mm-hmm. So there's a word the Bible gives to this lining up. There's a word what it gives to this coming into agreement with the spiritual realm. Okay? It's the Greek word is metanaeo. Metanaeo, right? It means to change your mind for a purpose. Okay? It means to have a mindset shift. Right? So it's the guy on the front row getting irritated that they're having an encounter and I'm not. It's the guy getting angry that you're praying and people are getting healed and I'm not, and I've got all the logic games going off in my head, right? You're shifting from that critical, frustrated, angry mindset to this other, okay? A better word for that, well, let me tell you how we translate this word, metanoeo, in the Bible. It's the word repent. Repent. Now, here you go. Here's where we've messed up repent, right? Because generally, repent is our old church language is what? I'm a bad guy. I stink.
Return or burn.
Turn or burn. And so, to change your mind, and we're like, I need to stop because bad, right? So, one way we look at it is, you know what penance is? Ever heard of penance? So penance would be like, that's probably a harsh definition, but it's a true one. It's like voluntary self-punishment, right? Penance.
That's a name.
It's as an outward expression of our changing our mind, of our repentance, right? For having done wrong. I did wrong, and so my penance is, right?
Beat myself up.
So, repentance, right? The better translation of that word is to reform your thinking. Reformation, right? In fact, if you go into Young's translation of the Bible, when he uses it, he uses the word reform, to be reformed. It's fun when you look at this thought of metanoeo. It's made up of two words, meta, which is together, and nous, which is your mind, to be of one mind.
Which one?
Huh? So repentance is learning to engage these thoughts,
right,
about myself, my thoughts, with his thoughts of me, right? So metanoeo is, I'm learning. So repentance is, oh my gosh, not you suck, not look how bad you are. Repentance, metanoeo, is, oh my gosh, here's what he thinks about me. I need to think what he thinks about me, right? He has a lot of great things, fantastic, astonishing things he says about you and about what you're called to do, what your assignment is, about what your authority is, what your power is, what an amazing lover you are, right? And so repentance is, oh my goodness, he's saying these things about me. I need to line up with what he's saying about me, right? So this shift between my experience, right, and my identity, who I am and where I am, right? This lining up, this repentance is learning, right? It's like I'm learning to agree with heaven. That's all it's saying. In fact, it's interesting. There's two different perspectives, because usually repentance, we're saying, oh, sinner, right? So you know that the law did that. The law here in the Old Testament, the law revealed what?
Separation,
right? Yeah, it revealed your dials are out of tune. Okay, the law revealed your dials are out of tune. It did. It revealed sin, right? And you were like, well, that stinks. Look at me. I'm not tuned in. How bad is that? The gospel, what Jesus came to share, was, it wasn't disagreement with the law, by the way. Yeah, your dials are out of tune. What he came and said was, I got good news. Tune the dials. We can tune in, because this is who you are, and all the excuses for not tuning in, all the lies for saying, can't happen, he took care of. The whole activity of Jesus, right? Everything he came to do and be, like, that culminated on the cross, was all the excuses for tuning in are off the table now, right? So this paradigm shift comes from the Holy Spirit, right? This pulling back of the curtain and revealing the, right, this is I've never seen this before moments, right? And it all those moments come in encounters. All of those moments, your aha moments with Jesus, of waking up to who you are, it's not found in study. It's not found with go to church, pay your offering, and don't forget Sunday school. It's found in a genuine encounter with him. That's why we pray for the encounter. We ask God, come, because the root of it starts in a believing heart, which wakes up to who they are, their identity, and found in how loved they are, right? So this thing about not seeing till you believe, right, is all the seeing of the supernatural is realized in a believing heart. I'll leave it at that.
Well, Paul took it even a step further than that, and he said, we have the mind of Christ.
Here, I'll close with this verse for you. Oh, I'm going the wrong direction. I'm in Isaiah. I'll close with this. And again, it was just this thinking, and I was, and maybe next time I talk, I want to get into this Mary's encounter with the angel.
Mm.
So it'll be probably post-Christmas. But because it gets down to this, this doesn't make any sense answers to what's happening here. It gets into the, do I even risk it and pray for the man who's limping down the road like you ran into? I mean, you'll never stop and pray for that guy if you don't believe heaven's going to respond.
Right.
You'll never, because if your argument is he doesn't do those things, or if your argument is it's not God's will to heal them or do something, you'll never do it. Because logic's going to dictate to you, I have an argument not to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The only way that a person gets prayed for like that is you no kidding, you're loving like Father's loving. You're seeing like heaven's seeing, and heaven always heals. Heaven's always going to respond to the man that's hurting, right? So Isaiah, I'll close with this, Isaiah 55:8. Because remember I said repentance is, we're just engaging my thoughts with his thoughts, right? We're tuning the dials, we're connecting. You know, I love how Bill Johnson says, I can't afford a thought in my head that's not in his.
Mm.
I can't afford a thought in my head that's not in his, right? Isaiah 55:8 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's telling you, your dials are out of tune. That's it, right? For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, for you shall go without joy and be led out with peace. You'll go out. So when you tune in your dials, as you tune in, look what happens. You'll go out with joy and you'll be led with peace. There's this sustaining inner peace, this rest that comes as you tune in, right? The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. All the trees of the field shall clap their hand. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Right? So it goes back. This all circles back into this, I think, this thing you gave us in worship about meeting you in your expectation and giving you rest about your disappointments, settling the issues about your anxieties. Dealing with your frustrations, right? The enemy takes missed expectations and creates conflict.
Yeah.
Right? God's response to those things is rest in him. Tune your dials. And when we do that, while you may not understand the logic of the situation, he releases joy.
Mm-hmm.
He releases rest in that place. Perfect peace, the Bible calls it. And so we're on a journey towards the supernatural. I don't say that to scare you. I say that to tell you that's your assignment. You have an impossible assignment if you try to do it in your head.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Raising the dead is an impossible logic puzzle. You'll never get there.
Yeah.
Right.
The tuning in is a channel or a pathway to what Jesus prayed. And that we're one with him.
Yeah.
It's even more than just tuning in. He wants us to become one with him.
So I want you to do this. Let's just close in prayer, right? So I want you to close your eyes for a second. And I want you to see yourself in an old-time radio station, a radio box sitting on the counter. It's the kind with the tuner, the dials, the old radio. Yeah, some of you don't know this because you're all used to your digital technology. But we used to have radios that you had to tune into the radio station, right? So this morning, we ask Holy Spirit, turn our dials, tune us into heaven this morning. We pray for no static. We pray for a clear channel. God, we hear you perfectly. We're plumbed for heaven's filling this morning. So God, we pray for a release of love and joy, your peace that would just consume us, God. You literally, as you come in, you displace, you push out all fear, all anxiety, all frustration, all of our stress, all of our disappointment. God, we just see it. It's like pushing. It can't stay because you fill us so completely, God. You satisfy us so completely, God. In that place, our hearts shift into believing for more. God, so we pray for an encounter that leads to more in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.